Hello,
and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 112, the Ladies Valentine Luncheon episode. Yes, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Did you get Valentine's? I got a very sweet Valentine from the man, homemade at the last minute, as was mine. This is how we do things around here. But they're always sweet. I like homemade Valentines. And, of course, the boys, nothing, because they're worthless. I gave them chocolate, as I do every year, and they, you know, whatever. They accept it as their due. They're terrible children. I had a luncheon today. I had a ladies' Valentine luncheon. I love the idea of entertaining. Don't much really like entertaining, but the idea I'm really high on. We don't do it a lot. I have a few friends. First of all, I have my friends who are sort of a little bit more country clubbish than we are, and they seem to do more entertaining. They don't invite us. They entertain among themselves, and that is fine, believe me. But like my friend Allison, who she and her husband, they're in a dinner club, and they host dinners and rotate. So one month it'll be Allison's turn, and the next month it'll be, I don't know, Betty's turn. And the couples, they do this monthly, which I think is lovely. I don't know that they cook. I feel as though they may more cater. This is just my thought. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. That's my suspicion. So there's that kind of entertaining. And then I do have some friends. Well, like my friend Catherine, who's no longer here. She's in Birmingham. And she, when we lived next door to each other, she did a lot of entertaining. She just was good at it. You know, I don't know. She grew up a minister's daughter. They had lots of foster kids. I think just it was almost like growing up in a military family where entertaining was kind of part of the job. And she is fairly extroverted. And so she just would have, they would have parties and invite a ton of people, you know, from church and from work, from her husband Tom's work. And they would just grill out. And Catherine was a great cook. I mean, that was part of it. She really loved cooking and was very good at it. You know, so I don't know. But I don't feel like I have anyone in my life like Catherine now, who just sort of spontaneously entertains. We do not spontaneously entertain at all. We are not a spontaneous people. We do, from time to time, have friends over for dinner. I don't do it a lot. And, you know, it's always fun. Like, we have these friends, and we love them. And invited them, I guess, last year. And we just went out, we went and picked up barbecue from our favorite barbecue joint. And they came over, and they have really nice kids, and our kids and their kids get along, and it was great. And I would love to have them over again and do that again, but they have not invited us over. Now, I don't particularly care, and they both work, so I'm sympathetic. I'm not taking offense. I don't think it's because they don't actually like us, but I feel I don't want to embarrass them by over-inviting them, and then sort of it will make it, if I invited them to dinner again, they might feel like, oh, wait a minute, we should really invite you over. And that's whenever I see Nancy, it's like, oh, we really need to have you over. And then they don't. And I hope they actually like us, and it's not because they actually don't like us. They always act like they like us. So, but the big dinner party, I don't really do. We do every once in a while we'll have somebody over. It's, you know, it's hard when you have kids and they have kids. And here's the problem. I'll tell you what the real problem with dinner, besides the fact that it's a lot of work doing a dinner party, even just for one other couple and their children, or even just for one other couple. It's, you know, because you want to do a good job and you want to have like a nice dessert and nice bread and what have you, which means baking your bread. And I mean, you don't have to do that, but I do. But the problem with having people over for dinner is I'm, you know, by 9:30, I'm like, okay, go home. I've had enough. And you can't make people just leave. They'll stay. And so that, to me, is actually the high-risk game of inviting someone over. I mean, if they have little kids, then they're going to leave. You know that's kind of a done deal by 9 at the latest. But if they don't, if they're not there with their kids, then, you know, it can be like, you know, it's like 10:30, 11. You're like, please go home. Please go home. I just want to go to sleep. I've worked very hard all day to pull this off. So lunch is great because everyone has to go home. At some point, you have to leave. They have to leave. See, that to me is like a really good reason for having lunch. Lunch is also easy to do. So I had my friends over. This is a group of moms from school who we often get coffee together over at Foster's Market in the morning after drop-off. Not often. In fact, I didn't do it at all last. No, I did one time last fall. I think they got together a few times last fall. I only did it once. But, you know, I think the idea is do it once a month, and that doesn't actually happen. But it's a very nice group of people. They're all kind of not quite the Durham Academy mold. Everyone's a little off-kilter, shall we say. So it's a good group of people. It's a lot of fun. So I invited them today. And, you know, it's funny, there's so many things to talk about. This is related to quilting. Let me tell you how I made placemats and napkins. And the placemats, of course, are quilted placemats. I did this because I realized as I was making my plans for a very simple lunch, although I can never do things simply, but I was thinking, wow, I don't have any Valentine's decor. And I don't really want to go spend lots and lots of money on Valentine's Day decor, like I have no Valentine's, you know, tablecloth or table runner or anything. And so I thought, I can make placemats. And what I did was use sort of the, if you recall, if you've been with me for a long time now, Simply Amy, Simply Frances, my quilt. So my modern quilt, still on my bed. And I kind of used that model of the wonky block. So I had some salmon pink and cut out 6 wonky rectangles. Then took this fabric I had left over from my girly girl pink girly girl reading quilt. Some Moda Bliss, very cute, like a print, a little floral print, and put added those, did those as borders around the rectangle, and then had another print left over, this a white with green sprigs that I used in my pinwheel quilt that I did last Christmas for my editor. And it's nice because the Moda Bliss has a little bit of green in it. And this green was nice. It's very light. I mean, the fabric almost reads white. You know, it'll be interesting. I took some pictures and I'm going to post them, and then you can see for yourself. So I did that. So that would be the second border. Of course, all the borders are wonky. And then I did I did go to Joann's Monday and bought some fabric, just little hearts, a heart print on pink, and it was in very many of the same colors that are in the Moda Bliss, and also the salmon pink is in there. And I use that for the binding and the backing. The placemats are all wonky. At first I was like, wow, I need to square these. And I'm like, how am I going to do that? And I thought, why do I have to square them? They don't have to be the same. And so I did not square them. And they were very cute, and I made little quilts out of them. I put batting and backing and just did stitch-in-the-ditch quilting, nothing fancy. If I'd had more time, I came up with this idea on Saturday. If I'd had more time, I might have used this as an opportunity to practice my free motion quilting. But I'm just like, you know, I'm just doing stitch-in-the-ditch. Nothing fancy. Although in some ways, you know, in retrospect, the free motion might have been faster because with the stitch-in-the-ditch, I had to, like, you know, do a line and have to stop. And then, you know, reposition the quilt. And so, you know, and with free motion, you just keep going, baby. Just go and go and go. So really, in retrospect, that might have been faster. But I just didn't want to mess around with it. And I also made napkins using the salmon fabric and the Moda Bliss fabric. Sewed them together, right sides together. The salmon side actually was a solid, didn't have a right side, but you know what I mean. And then left just a little bit on one corner so I could, after I sewed the two sides together, I could push it outside out, and then sewed up the little corner and then ironed them. And they're very cute. I took pictures. So that's how this all relates to quilting. Also, I have no other quilting news this week because that was my quilting project, legitimate quilting project. And although, I guess the other little bit of news is if you're a craftsy person, you know that today, Valentine's Day, they had a sale. And I bought the art quilt class, like Art Quilt 101. It was on sale for $9.99. And you know what? I've been thinking about buying that anyway, so I'm so glad I didn't get around to it before they put it on sale for $9.99. So that's a little bit of quilting news, too. The luncheon was very nice. You know, the one thing about doing a luncheon, and this is my, I think it is my, I've had people over for lunch, I think. I'm trying to think if I've had another ladies' luncheon like this. Not like this. This was, you know, not fancy fancy. So we had chicken salad on croissant, and I have to say the chicken salad was delicious. I made a potato salad with red potatoes with a vinaigrette and scallions and bacon. Also really good. And then a fruit salad with strawberries, cantaloupe, and green grapes, and potato chips, which I did not make. I just, you know, and this is also quilty because what I was thinking about as I was putting the menu together, you know, I really was thinking about the need for balance. I thought it's kind of like quilting, putting a meal together, you know, because you want different colors. Although the color wise, I mean, you had the red, no, really with the red potatoes and the fruit, it was actually a good sample of colors. You know, the croissants and the chicken salad were kind of bland color wise, but very tasty. But, you know, just thinking about that balance. And, in fact, initially I was going to do the croissant, fruit salad. No, I was initially going to do croissant, potato salad, and then a green salad with vinaigrette. And then I'm just like, yeah, but if you do potato salad, you know, you can do potato salad with mayonnaise, but then that's too close to the chicken salad. Or you can do potato salad with a vinaigrette, but then that would be too close to the green salad with the vinaigrette. And I thought, what about a fruit salad? You see, you've got to have different taste and different textures. They all have to work together. You know, it's kind of like quilting. The thing about doing a luncheon, of course, is that the man was not there. And he's excellent company, so that would have been fun to have him. But also, then there's no one to gossip with afterwards. That is the fun thing about doing a dinner party is afterwards you go, blah, 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 you know, and you critique it all and how it all went. And I didn't have that. So that's why I'm telling you about it. How did it all go? It all, you know, it went nicely. I think the food was good. The women are all very nice and funny. Carla came in. So Monica came first. Monica is new to our group. She moved here from Pennsylvania this summer, but actually is from Finland and is actually Swedish. There's a Swedish subgroup, subculture. A small percentage of Finns are actually really Swedish and are Swedish speaking people. And she is Swedish speaking. Oh, she speaks perfect English. She's really lovely. We were her host, her son's host family, Johannes. He's in fourth grade with Will. And so at the beginning of the school year, we had them over, had Monica and Johannes came over for a play date. She's very lovely. She came first and brought a big box of chocolate, Finnish chocolate. But the funny thing is, on my invitation, which I just emailed, I said noonish. Well, here noonish comes around. I'm like, where is everyone? But I'm like, you did say noonish. You didn't say 12 sharp. And she got here about 12:05. And then Carla came. And Carla just was having a bad day. In fact, she brought a bottle of wine. She just had one glass. But just stuff with her kid, a kindergartner, not, you know, just run-of-the-mill stuff, but hard when you're going through it. So we had to go through that. And, you know, mean that mean. That's what you do when your friends come. You kind of talk them down from the roof. And then Kaya came. And then Lisa was very late, and that was weird. But it was, so, how to think about this? How to think about my ladies' luncheon? I enjoyed it. I like all these women very much. It was interesting because there are a couple of, so, you know, I don't know. Balance, conversational balance wasn't always there, although we did have, you know, a nice conversation that kind of went around and around. I think it was good. I think what I'm trying to weigh out is how much work went into it versus how I felt it all came off. And not so much like, did I have a good time? Because sometimes when you're the hostess, it's not really about your good time. I mean, you're offering hospitality. So do I, and I do think everyone had a good time. And I don't, you know, but I have to subtract the making of the placemats from my calculations because that was just something, I could have just bought something And that's one of those things. But do you ever do that? Like you just overcomplicate your life. Oh, this is going on. I know. Oh, I know. I'll add a 10-hour project to all the work I'm going to do. I have to subtract that. And now if I can have a ladies' luncheon in next Valentine's Day, and I won't have that to do. I did have to spend a lot of time cleaning up the dining room, living room area. But which is good because now it's really clean. So I don't know. It's hard to gauge. It's, you know, but I think that's any, especially when you're cooking, you know, you cook and cook and cook and you put all this time and energy to cooking and then the meal's done in 10 minutes. This is why we quilt. It's so good to make things that actually last. You know, so that's what, I don't know how to do an equation that involve where you figure out is your input into an event, especially like this, where you're hosting or you're offering hospitality. I don't know. I don't even know what the equation is. I'm trying, you know, if things balance out. I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know if I had a good time. I didn't have a bad time. I don't know if I had the time I was expecting to have, if that makes sense. But life is often like that. I went to a meeting last night, the CHOP meeting, the Culinary Historians of the Piedmont, North Carolina. This is a group, it's a foodie group that meets once a month, but they're particularly interested in Southern food, and it meets at a very nice bookstore that I like a lot in Chapel Hill. And I've never been, I've always been kind of interested, so I went. But I went knowing, it's like, you know, you go to stuff like this, and sometimes it's like, woo, this is, you know, it exceeds your expectations. More often, it doesn't meet your expectations. I was pleasantly surprised with this. The guest speakers were two women who have a restaurant in Winston-Salem called Sweet Potatoes. They were very interesting. They talked about their, you know, food from their, you know, talked about their childhood and how they got interested in foods and cooking and opening a restaurant. They're partners in life as well as partners in work. They're African American. So they brought all this stuff to the table and were good speakers and were neat. And they really complimented each other in terms of their personalities and speaking styles. So I enjoyed that very much. Will it become the center of my life, this CHOP group? I don't think so. But I felt like, you know, it was a nice meeting of expectations and what actually happened. Because so often I find you have these expectations, but I do. I romanticize so much. I live so much in my head. So this luncheon, I think that's what I'm trying to decide. Did I feel like it met my expectations? Didn't meet my expectations? I'm not sure. I'm still pondering this. But my placemats, they definitely met my expectations. I think they're very cute. I hope you do too. That's my story for today. This won't be a long episode because that's really all the quilting work I did, and a lot, I feel like, I mean, I had other stuff going on. I had lunch with a friend yesterday. I had lunch with a man on Monday, which is always nice, and various meetings and just the stuff you do, and not a lot of writing. I'm really got to get down to it starting Monday. I've been a little lazy in between projects, but now I'm starting a new book and blah, 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 blah. Can't remember what I told you last week about my new project. Tell me if I told you. If not, I'm not going to go into it now. I'll tell you later. All right, let us go. You're going to hear me clicking over to my comments because I want to say thank you to everyone who took time to comment on last week's episode. We haven't had a lot of time between that because I think I posted it maybe Sunday. So, but let me tell you, so heard from Noni. Oh, one of the things is last week I posted the picture of my quilt that I'm going to be doing for my quilting class, my craftsy quilting class, beyond machine quilting, beyond the basics. And I wasn't really happy with it. Noni's opinion was, and she's very insistent, this is her own personal opinion, to be taken with a grain of salt. She didn't like gray and brown tones together. She thinks they clash, and she doesn't even like grays with beige or off-white. But her big thing with this, she thinks that there's a value problem, as both colors seem to read medium, and I think she's exactly right about that. I think if I had to do it over again, I'm not going to redo it, but if I did it over again, I think I would, instead of the brown batik, I would get something darker, like a dark gray, and maybe something solid too, but definitely something darker. So I think that to me, just that hit the nail on the head, the value problem. Heard from Tammy, heard from Tori, who said she was glad to hear that I got my own iPad. She loves hers. I am really enjoying mine. What a strange thing. Heard from Kelly the Fifth. She said she liked the quilt, my quilt top. She thought I might use orange thread for quilting, which I really like that idea, so I may do that. She talked about spray basting last week. She uses 505 spray baste for small quilts. And later, Sandy from Quilting the Rest of Us, so that's what she used. And Sandy was saying, I thought this, you know, when you're doing art quilts or smaller quilts, she's doing a lot of art quilts these days, and that spray basting is really good for that, much better than pins. And I can really see that if you're working with a lot of little pieces. I have not, since I really haven't made any progress, I haven't moved forward with spray basting or not, but you know, I'm leaning toward giving it a try. Heard from Quilt and Jenny. She says a word of caution about spray baste. Her old sewing machine did just fine with it. Her new sewing machine hates it. And she said there's not really a good way to get it off a quilt that isn't finished, so be sure to do some sandwich tests before putting it on a quilt you care about. And that's a really good idea. Because that's another thing that I guess kind of makes me want to back away from spray base. It's like, what if you just mess it all up? I also worry about like getting it all over my floor. So she also advocates using the 505. Everyone she knows swears by it, and she thinks I may regret saving a couple of dollars and going with the cheap stuff. Better to just stick with my pins if that's my plan. And she agrees with Noni, thinks it's a problem of value more than anything else. Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us says that she has used spray base for years and says, use the 505. It's worth the cost to have it work as well as it does. And she also says that she thinks she's only bought one canister a year on average. So that was one of my concerns, too. If it costs $15 to use the whole can for one quilt, sounds like you don't. So if it's going to last a long time, then, you know, then $15 may be very well worth it. She says, I can't, of course, speak to archival matters yet, so that's something to consider. Ask me again in 30 years. Sandy, I will. Thank you for the input on that. If you have thoughts on spray base that you haven't shared yet, please do. I would love to hear them. Thank you, everyone, for commenting. And if you wish to leave a comment on this episode 112, you can do so at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. That is where you will see the pictures of my placemats and napkins. You can email me, fdal@nc.rr.com. I really think that's it for this week. I'm reading Cory Doctorow's Little Brother, young adult novel. I'm a good mom. I'm going on Saturday to hear him read, which I think should be fun, but taking all of Jack's Cory Doctorow books. Jack is a huge Cory Doctorow fan, and Jack's going to be at a debate in Fayetteville on Saturday, so I'm going to go and take his books and get them signed. I'm so nice, but I am reading that and enjoying it very much. I am reading right now Penelope Lively's How It All Began for my book group, and enjoying that a lot too. So that is it for reading this week. We'll talk about Downton Abbey next week at the season's ending. What a soap opera. It's a grand soap opera, but a soap opera nonetheless. All right. I hope you have a good week. I hope you're making time to do your quilting work. You need to do that. It's good for your soul. It's good for your mind. It's good for all of you. So do that. Take care of yourself, walk your dog, think good thoughts. I'll see you next week.